morning skit any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
72-79, but here comes Jaylen Brown flying through everybody. Over Joel Embiid, he slams it home.
Oh, who's your daddy?
Roadkill. Joel Embiid has to pick himself up off the floor.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the Celtics president of basketball operations. Do you have a child who loves basketball?
I do.
We all do. I think we all do. Have them learn the core values of Boston Celtics basketball as part of Junior Celtics. Junior Celtics has programs for kids of a wide range of ages and skill levels. Visit Celtics.com/JRCeltics for more info. Danny Ainge, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Well, you know what? We're solving some science. We're breaking down some things that happened last night in the baseball game scientifically, and I think that I'm coming out kind of winning this whole thing.
Well, that was a pretty amazing catch by Benintendi. Were you guys still awake watching that?
I was. I was not. Yeah.
I did see Altuve gets cheated out of that home run. I did see that. Danny, you played quite a catch.
I stayed up for every play. That was amazing.
All right, Danny, you played professional baseball. Could a fan make you close your glove completely?
Like what happened with Mookie Betts yesterday?
No, it looked like he closed his glove early on that play. And you know what was interesting? Was it Springer who missed that almost amazing catch?
Yep, that's right. After that,
It was almost the same type of thing with no fan interference. I mean, there's no guarantee that that ball was going to be caught, and it looked like it was over the fence and in the stands. That was a tough one.
Yeah, Danny, I'm just going to leave the interview now and drop the mic.
You were on Team Fred. Fred said that because it looked like on the video when he went up that the two fans pushed it like his glove and it closed his glove. And Fred said that he didn't think it was possible that fans could close his glove. So that's what you believe. You're on Team Fred here.
Yes, definitely. It looked like his glove was closing before the ball was getting there. I thought it should have been a home run.
Mike, could you please isolate that? We'll play that several times.
You're the only one of us four who's ever played professional baseball.
I'm with you, Fred.
That's right. Us athletes got to stick together.
What a ridiculous way to start the season with the Celtics. It must have been a good feeling to know that your two quote-unquote best players, being Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, you know, Hayward coming back, both of them coming back from surgeries and injuries, that they, you know, point-wise weren't huge contributors, yet they still were able to blow out the 76ers. That must have felt pretty good as a GM that you built a pretty deep bench.
Yeah, no, we knew going in that we have a deep team, and that's a challenge. It was interesting because I was telling Jason Tatum just the day before, I was having a conversation with him about, you know, like whoever's playing well. I mean, Brad has a really tough job. There's going to be different guys finishing different games depending on matches, depending on who's just got the hot hand. And he said, yeah, everybody but Kyrie, right? Kyrie's going to finish every game. I go, no, I think so, because I don't think Brad views it as like we have a Kyrie backup. I think Brad views it as we have a bunch of starters, and, you know, Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier on any night could be hot and playing great and be a great matchup and finish the game instead of Kyrie even. And he looked at me and rolled his eyes and goes, yeah, right. And then he said when he saw that happen in game one, he realized that was probably that is the case, and that's true. If it could happen to Kyrie, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, what did you get out of that with Kyrie? Do you think this is just him getting his legs back under him since his surgery, or do you think he was pressing, or how did you read his, I guess, not so stellar performance during game one?
You know, like everybody goes through those games. I don't care how good a player you are. And, you know, it's just when the ball's not going in, you're just pressing sometimes to try to get it. And obviously there's rust. He didn't play a ton of minutes in exhibition season where he's coming back slowly from, you know, he's not practicing every single day. We're just being really cautious with him and Gordon. So it's just going to take time. I think both of those guys are just going to get stronger as the season goes along.
That's interesting. So how are you dealing with their practice schedule with those two guys? I didn't realize that they were taking some practices off.
Well, I think that everybody takes practices off on our team. I mean, we try to manage every single player with how feeling. You know, Gordon had some back spasms and he missed 3 or 4 practices off. But Kyrie just periodically, we just collectively decide that it's a day he needs to rest. And it's an opportunity for our young guys to practice more and get more reps with the starting units. And so we do that with Horford and Kyrie and actually every player that's going through training camp.
Danny, we had you on last week and we were discussing how defensively you folks weren't very good during the preseason, and you told us, well, now we have a chance to put about a week's worth of practices together. Let's see where we are when the season starts. And sure enough, opening night, Philadelphia shoots under 40% from the field. They score 87 points. Things looked real good on the defensive end.
Yeah, defense was the bright spot. I think we still have a lot to do. I think our team is going to get better as we go along. I don't think Brad was very happy with how our team played overall. But we did bring energy, and we did play with effort on the defensive end. And I thought, Gordon Hayward really stood out defensively. He was battling against Simmons and Saric. And we were uncertain about that matchup and how that would go. But I was very impressed with Gordon's defense. I thought that he was a real spark for us.
Is this something that you're going to continue with until Gordon Hayward's minutes get back? Is that it's basically going to be, for the most part, on a usual night, Aaron Baines that's going to get the start in his spot?
I don't think so. I think that depending on matchups, it could go different ways. Yeah, I mean, it may be Smart or Rozier or Marcus Morris or Baines, I think, would be one of those four would get to start the second half. And I don't know how long that's going to go. That's going to be, up to our medical staff, up to Gordon and how he's feeling.
Well, did you talk to Gordon after the game?
I did.
Where's his head? I mean, I saw some of the post-game stuff, but, you've been following him through this whole trek. Did he say anything to you about what it was like to be on the court for the, essentially the first time since he broke his ankle?
Yeah, I mean, I think he felt good about how his body held up. I think he felt, like 25 minutes was a lot, and he competed at a very high level, and not playing basketball for a year. It's hard to get that conditioning back. But we're just trying to, him playing as hard as he did defensively was very inspiring to me, because that's usually where guys don't play with the intensity. They try to get their offense back and try to score points. And Gordon was the exact opposite. He was out there to help us win the game and not show everybody that, how good a player he is. He was very unselfish offensively, made some very timely shots, but was playing within the system and competing very hard defensively.
You mentioned being unselfish, and if you take a look at the number of shots taken by a bunch of your guys on opening night, it seemed like everyone was more than willing to share the basketball, and it worked out for you.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys that can make shots, and, it's good to have a team that you don't have to rely on one or two guys every night. That does take a toll throughout the course of the season. There's going to be quarters, I think even halves, where we are going to rely on certain players that get going, but not throughout a whole game. And it's good. And it's going to be different players.
And you said, Danny, we're talking about Kyrie, that you've had nights, and I'm sure every player's had nights where they're just off and the ball's just not going in the hoop. And no matter what you do, nothing's working. Do you prefer, as the GM, when you're watching like what Kyrie was going through on during the opener, do you prefer seeing those players pass to a guy because if they're feeling off, like pass it off, or continue to try to take the open shot and try to play their way through it?
You always want them to continue. I mean, Kyrie is going to miss 8 shots in a row and make the next 8 shots in a row most of the time, so. Yeah, everybody's encouraging him to keep shoot, but it's always a balance. Try to get someone else going, give yourself some time, don't put too much pressure on yourself. But Yeah, everybody on the bench, coaches, everybody are encouraging Kyrie to keep shooting. We want him to shoot those shots he shoots. He's one of the most efficient scorers in the NBA, and the kind of shots that he wasn't making in game one are the shots that he makes almost every night.
Danny, one of your chief competitors in the Eastern Conference is going to be Toronto, and there are a lot of questions as to how Kawhi Leonard would look coming off injury and all the stuff he went through in San Antonio. They played their first game last night. He looked pretty good.
He's looked really good. He looked good in exhibition season also. Yeah, he looks healthy and really good. And Toronto is probably playing as good as anybody, you know, through exhibition season and opening night game performances. You know, they do look like a tough team. This game Friday night is going to be fun.
Are you a fan of the, I mean, obviously back in the day, this seemed nothing, but in today's NBA, the stare down seems like something kind of special. And you got a couple of those with Joel Embiid from both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Are you a fan of that? And it seemed like they were very lenient on the not calling any kind of taunting. Foul on taunting or anything on that. Are you a fan of the stare down?
Well, I think it's fun because, I mean, Jason and Joel are friends. You know, they work out together in the summertime, so they have a little bit of, you know, running commentary, and it's more for summer bragging rights, but those two are close. I think that it can get the officials have to understand when it's just fun and guys are just having fun trash talking, and when, you know, there's potential for violence on the court or, you know, some sort of fight breaking out. And I didn't sense that tension the other night in the game sitting right there. I didn't feel like there was ever any tension in the game. It was just fun trash talking type of stare downs.
If you could get rid of the taunting foul, would you do that?
You know, like I said, I think it depends. I think there's some taunting that's kind of fun and there's some taunting that is uncalled for and over the line. So that's why they just, the attorneys of the NBA have to eliminate the rule or put in the rule of taunting because it's hard to determine, I guess, for the officials to determine which is over the line and which isn't.
All right, if you're looking to get to a Celtics game, be part of the Celtics home court advantage. Celtics.com has your tickets for every home game, including guaranteed tickets resold by other fans. Visit Celtics.com/tickets for more info. And Mr. Danny Ainge, thank you again for backing me up on my athletic theory, because only you and I have obviously we're masters of the game.
I think you would have made that catch, Fred.
Oh yeah,
I the fans.
Yeah, you don't push me around. Yeah, I get that done. All right, Danny, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right, thanks. All right, do we have the isolated audio of Danny Ainge?
We should. If we don't have it now, we definitely. I mean, listen, he's the one guy who's played, and he backs up Fred.
Yeah, if we can get that isolated audio, I would like to hear it.
Oh, by the way, we also have the radio call from Houston, which is supposed to be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I heard it overnight, so yeah, it should be good. All right, we will return in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Kimbrel deals, Bregman in the air, left field, Benintendi dives, and he makes the catch! Oh, what a play! Game saver, Andrew Benintendi! The Red Sox win on a spectacular catch by Benintendi in left field.
I'm a Red Sox fan, and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I can die.
The 70s, man. The 70s were happy.
What does it mean?
Wow.
What does it mean? 86 years.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Would you like me to read some emails I got today?
Yeah, so let's hear them.
This is from Dave Paulini. Fred, when you referred to the fan who interfered with the Betts catch, you said, what is he, one of them pores? This was in reference for him driving to Georgia to Houston instead of flying. So we're making fun of people's low income now. Sorry, not everyone has had a horseshoe up their dingle cake. David Nord, you come across as a condescending jackass.
Well, I mean, the this is also somebody who can afford to get into an ALCS game.
I mean, I'm obviously being sarcastic.
I absolutely.
The fan that hits Mookie's glove is not the guy reaching from the right side of the screen TV view. Right. It was a guy in a dark tee that you see with his hands clasped to his chest after Mookie comes down. While Mookie is in the air, you can't see the fan, but you can see Mookie's glove get knocked. That did close Mookie's glove. Whether Mookie was in the stands, couldn't tell you. Great show. Do we have Danny's comment? Isolated.
Danny, I don't think we do yet, but Danny agreed with Fred. He played for the Blue Jays, so that was the only team he played for, right? Is that the only professional baseball team he played for?
I think so.
Obviously, yeah. he was in the major leagues, and he agrees with Fred, even though there is visual evidence that is proves that Danny is wrong, and you're wrong, but either way, we will agree to say that you're wrong. Do we have the call, the Houston call? It was apparently they lost their minds. Oh, we don't yet? Okay. Nino Ramirez said, okay, we'll get to it. But the one thing that I know that everyone is feeling great about is that with Chris Sale out, David Price is going to be pitching today. And then you have to take a look at who was used yesterday in the bullpen, how it's going to be used. The one thing you're going to get a couple of innings out of Rodriguez. That's the one thing you're going to get.
And Alex Cora made sure he only faced one hitter last night to save him for today. I agree. Price gets knocked out early. Eduardo Rodriguez is the first guy out of the pen.
Yeah, okay. So you're going to – let's say David Price does what David Price does in the postseason and he lasts three innings. You could probably get Rodriguez in for
two,
maybe even three.
Depends on how far it goes. I would think that Brazier and Kimbrel will not. I would think Brazier and Kimbrel wouldn't be available today.
No.
Well, Brazier especially.
I'm surprised that if they wouldn't pitch Kimbrel in this situation with coming out.
Maybe so. But again, 35, 36 pitches last night. A lot of them really high leverage, like tough pitches to make. I can't see him facing a lot of people tonight.
Okay, say you're down by a run going into the ninth inning. Who do you pitch?
Oh, man.
I think Barnes is the guy. I mean, look, I didn't think Barnes could do it. He did it last night. He didn't face a lot of people last night.
Eovaldi.
Barnes is the guy. And this is Eovaldi's throw day.
Maybe Eovaldi. I mean, for an inning.
They made one mistake. They added Heath Hembree to this playoff roster to replace Stephen Wright, where it would have been better if they had added Velasquez. They had added Velasquez, then you have that second long man that they had when Wright was there. And a lot of these problems, they don't go away, but they become easier to solve.
So Alex Cora was asked about what was going on with Chris Sale.
Chris Sale, he's not starting tomorrow. We talk about it today. He still feels weak. Like I said earlier, he lost some weight. I know that's hard to believe, but yeah, he did. He didn't throw a bullpen today. He's feeling better compared to yesterday, but physically he's not there yet. So I think, if necessary, he'll pitch game six. He feels that he'll be ready for that one, and we'll go from there.
When did he go into Mass General? Was it Monday night or Tuesday night? I think it was Tuesday night that he went in. So let's say he did have stomach issues and he was kind of sick. He went in Monday night. Okay.
And Monday night, release Tuesday, and join the team Wednesday.
For stomach problem, doesn't it?
He's hurt.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
No, he's hurt.
But what the team is telling you is that it's a stomach problem.
Right, but the team has no obligation to tell you that he's hurt.
They don't, but I mean, you have to believe that there's something going on with the arm.
Chris Sale is playing through a stomach issue. I mean, Chris Sale is not the kind of guy who's going to take time off because his stomach hurts.
No, you're absolutely right. And I know that the guy from the paper that we had on from Providence came on and said he saw him walking around with some Pedialyte. And I mean, anything to me.
Well, maybe he was hungover. I mean, who knows?
Right. And maybe he did have, slight problems. But I also believe that if he got a cortisone shot, and I actually looked it up because we were wondering that. Like, if you get a cortisone shot, how long is it until you're supposed to have extreme physical activity like the kind that Chris Sale would have? Like, if you're a pitcher, how long is it usually? And John's actually right. It was 24 to 48 hours that it's recommended. Now, if guys played through that before, I'm sure that they have.
John was actually right.
Wait a second. But why would that matter? Why would they have given them a cortisone shot yesterday?
No. Given a cortisone shot when he was in the hospital.
Okay, but Wednesday. So it's 24 hours.
Right, 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
And I think that now they have a, I guess, somewhat of a luxury that they would be able to move Price up and move him back if they had
to. No, but if he got it on Monday.
To be able to recover.
No, it was one of those things where he was supposed to throw a bullpen the day afterwards, and Cora said, no, he's too weak, he can't throw a bullpen
today. So he couldn't even throw a bullpen, and not just to get right out there.
So they pushed the bullpen back to yesterday.
These guys get 400 cortisone shots a season.
Granted, they do, but I also think that, as I said, because of where the series stands, Alex Cora can afford to move things around a little bit.
Well, I mean, I guess... But I'm not confident he pitches in Game 6, and if he doesn't pitch in Game 6, that's a bullpen.
And right now, according to Alex Cora, they intend on him pitching in Game 6. That obviously could all change.
Well, he's hurt. A cortisone shot isn't going to fix everything.
No. I mean, Fred, we've seen what he's been pitching like the past couple. I mean, he's got
take
no
away
velocity,
the pain,
no control.
But he can't throw 97 anymore.
It doesn't take away entirely all the pain, and it also doesn't strengthen anything. It's basically just lubing it up.
Is this the call? Do we have it right here? Okay, here is Houston Radio's call of the Mookie Betts situation.
And Altuve hits it in the air to right, fairly deep. It sends back Betts, still going back on the warning track. He leaves, and that ball is... off the wall. It's in play. I think they're going to call fan interference. They are. And Altuve is going to stop at second. Springer at third. Right field umpire Joe West saying that a fan interfered with Mookie Betts as he leapt to catch that ball up against the fence. And A.J. Hinch out of the dugout. He may ask for a crew chief review here to look at that.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a few looks at this. Mookie Betts, like he was jumping on a trampoline, got so high. Minute Maid Park will explode if he gets to circle the bases here.
A two-run home run tying the game. And the call is the same. So it's going to be fan interference.
Not as angry as I thought he was going to be.
No.
No, not at all.
Do we have Danny Ainge? I like when anyone else wants something isolated, it gets isolated.
Well, that's it. You see, he couldn't start until Danny Ainge was done. You have to wait because it's recording. So, you know, you got to go back and do it that way. It took a little bit. Takes a little bit of time.
All right.
He wants to get it done right, Fred.
I don't blame him. I'm not attacking
him. We all heard it happen, and I wouldn't mind hearing it again. I thought it was very enlightening, even though he was wrong, and you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Oh, we will get to the Bruins and how they did last night. At least nobody was able to watch them because they were watching the Red Sox.
You know, it was really depressing that the Bruins game was over about an hour and a half before the Red Sox game, and it started at 9:30.
You know what baseball is? Too long. And it was a great game, but, man, that was way too long. We will get to that. Also, we get the first look at what the ratings life is like for Roseanne without Roseanne.
Oh, yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. Give me them Connors. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rip.
Altuve at the plate, and that is slapped to right field. Back goes Betts at the wall, leaping, and oh, my goodness. It looks like a fat fan with fat, stubby fingers just got in the way of that one. Wow, and you hate to see that in baseball and these disgusting, gross fans like these fat get in the way of this play. We are going to wait for, speaking of fat people, Joe West to make his way onto the field to make this call here as there is some debate by the dugout. I mean, holy shit, look at this, like a little leapfrog jumps over the fence, and obviously big man in the orange got in the way of that one. Altuve is excuse my language. They've made their decision, and oh boy, it's an out.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Two quick things to take care of before we get to the stack. First one being, we promised, so let's play this. Fred said that he didn't think it was possible that fans could close his glove. So that's what you believe. You're on Team Fred here.
Yes, definitely. It looked like his glove was closing before the ball was getting there. Yeah, I thought it should have been a home run.
Mike, could you please isolate that?
You're the only one of us four who's ever played professional baseball.
I'm with you, Fred.
That's right. Us athletes got to stick together.
You know what you get for that, Fred?
Yeah, baby.
You get a little saliva coming at you.
Yeah. I'm never going to talk about that again in my entire life.
That really is a mic drop. So
there you go.
There you go. Congratulations. And the other thing I do want to quickly mention is that yesterday was the Leukemia Light the Night Walk for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Team March with Mary's been doing it for, I think this is our fifth year, and I want to thank all the listeners and Fred. And,
yeah, I gave $500.
That's right, who donated, and John has donated a lot of money in the past.
Where, did you donate this year?
I did.
Well, how much?
$515.75.
$515.75.
You did, for real?
Yep.
Do you feel emasculated?
You're not even supposed to be. That's not even. You're still platinum, just like me.
Yeah.
But
I just wanted to make sure, A, I got more than you, and B, I did something a little creative. A listener actually brought it to my attention that I should do it.
Oh, because of the. Funny. Oh, in honor of Ray Lewis.
In honor of Ray Lewis, yeah. $515.75.
He just wrote it down.
Yeah. All kidding aside, and you guys know this, and maybe the listeners don't, my wife had to beat leukemia when she was a kid.
Yes.
So this is an endeavor that's very close to my family, so I was more than happy to donate.
Yeah, they have donated a ton, like, over the years. As a matter of fact, your family was always good to us when Mary was sick. There's a blanket she still uses that you guys, you know, gave her a while back. So thank you very much. But I wanted to say that thanks to the listeners, over the last 5 years, we tallied up last night, there has been more than $250,000 that have been donated through Team March with Mary.
That's
because
great.
Of the listeners. So
good for you guys.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much for everyone who donated and helped out. It started raining almost immediately.
Yeah.
So our walk was directly to the bar.
You guys were thinking, I was thinking about you guys. So it started bombing down rain in the suburbs. I'm like, oh, that's not
what
good.
Time?
Like right around 7 o'clock. Like right around 7.
Yeah, we got about 6 it. Or 6:15.
Yeah. We didn't get the rain.
Yeah, yep. we got it. And like that's usually the way we do it. Like we do our lap and then we'll go to one of the bars that are around there. But that one was the easiest walk we've ever done directly to the bar.
Because I want my money back.
Well, you if you would like some back, you sure? Or if you'd like to donate $515.76, possibly, to make you know, make sure you'll always know that you donated more than Wallach.
Yeah.
As it is now, I'm in the lead.
He is in the lead. That means he's a better human being than you, Fred.
Clearly. I don't know.
You were just crowing about, I gave five. How much did you give, Wallach? I gave $515.75.
Yeah, $15.75. That's really basically nothing.
So, yeah, give
kind of takes a shine off your Ainge Rose. I understand.
Well, no, the Ainge Rose can't be. That shine cannot be taken.
That's true.
Off.
It cannot be dulled.
No, he got click, click, boomed, and that's all that matters. Yeah. All right, so I'm just, if you're going to lose, you might as well do it on a night that no one's watching you.
And back of the net now, Pastrnak, blue attire, recovers, flips it up left wing. Marchand couldn't get it out. Backlund, right dot, centered, fired, they score. Puck turned over. Backlund threads one to the far post. Frolik tapped it home. 4-1 Flames over the Bruins.
Yeah, the Bruins winning streak snapped in Calgary. 5-2 the final score. Least surprising news of the night is that the first line once again was responsible for another 4 points with goals by Bergeron and Marchand. Those three are now up to a ridiculous 34 points over the last 5 games. Absolutely absurd. And I know that, and the second line apparently was pretty good last night, even though they didn't get on the board. But it's starting to, hopefully something is starting to brew there with how they've moved the players around. But unfortunately, Tuukka is not making the best case for himself this season. He had a couple incredible saves at the end of the night. At least I watched the highlights once again. I didn't watch the entire thing. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he let in two super soft goals in the first period.
Halak's going to go tonight in Edmonton, and we'll see how we go.
Well, I'm not joking. This definitely is not helping his case in any kind of brewing goaltender controversy.
No, they'll be perfectly happy starting Halak.
That's
why they got him.
Absolutely. Here's Tuukka afterwards.
Sometimes the puck's just not going to bounce your way, and you know there's a couple chances today that easily could have been goals, and then next thing you know, it's like, not clear chances, but just shots like through traffic and whatnot. And then, you know, sometimes when it's 3-0 and those pucks find the net, then it's 4-0, 5-0, and you're out of there.
Yep. Well, no rest for the weary. The Bruins are heading to Edmonton this evening. You can hear the puck drop right here at 9 o'clock on 98.5, the Sports Hub. By that point, is it at 8 o'clock first pitch tonight, John? Did they move it back to 8?
Yeah. We got a marginally closer. It's 8:09.
All right, so we're going to bed at 12:30, is what you're saying?
Sounds right.
You choose to stay up for the entire
game. Oh, my God. Joe Kelly last night, kill me. I mean, he just was taking forever. And for some reason, I've never quite noticed how long he takes in the mound. Last night, it just seemed like an eternity for him to pitch. Yeah, it was a great game,
it was
though.
Papelbon all over again. He has to gather himself.
Yeah.
Kimbrel's not a quick worker.
Well, nope. You know, Kimbrel's
got
to take time to
stare down with the arm bent. You got to do that.
The broken robot.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to do that. Well, Big Baller Brand, who would have thought that people weren't going to pay $500 for a pair of shoes? They have lowered the price to a more sensible $200. And to that, I still say, who's going to pay $200 for a non-brand shoe?
For perspective, Air Jordans go for $175.
Yeah, and it's a Nike product, a quality product, like Big Baller.
Air Jordans go for $175, and I think the LeBrons go for like $180.
And you know what's ridiculous, too? It's pure ego, because Lonzo Ball could get a really good sneaker deal.
By the way, Lonzo Ball did not wear the Big Baller Brand during the preseason. Lonzo Ball wore Nikes during the preseason.
John, there's all over near where I live all these posters for Terry Rozier's new Puma thing. It's like, Disrupt launch, October 12th. And all that. I mean, it's everywhere. If Terry Rozier, who is a guy coming off the bench, can get a pretty big endorsement from Puma, I guarantee you Lonzo Ball could have made a ton of money, but it's all ego for this stupid Big Baller Brand that he's
secretly
got.
Secretly, Lonzo's like, no, don't make me do this. Come on. Can I just have the Nikes or the Jordans over there?
I don't
there
think he's able to even process that kind of thought.
I do like the fact that ever since LeBron has signed with the Lakers, LeVar Ball has pretty much disappeared. You haven't heard anything from him.
Well, his kid was back in wherever the hell he was, causing trouble.
Yeah, he was in Lithuania.
Yeah.
They picked a fight with a guy. Did you see this, Rich?
No, I did not even hear.
Well, it was during a game against the Lithuanian All-Stars and whatever league LeVar Ball put together. The JBA, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, the Junior Baller League or something
like that.
Yeah,
the Junior Baller Association. Yeah. The JBA All-Stars went back to Lithuania to play a bunch of Lithuanian select things. So the kid, it's LaMelo, right? LaMelo's the youngest one.
Yeah.
LaMelo got blocked. And this Lithuanian kid, you know, strutting by him, tapped him on the back of the head. And then LaMelo, jumped him. And everyone, it was like a Donnybrook. It was a legit, 12 or 15 people on the floor going at each other. But you're right. LeVar has been very, not just quiet, very quiet in the last 6 months.
And I have to think that that's because somebody spoke to somebody. It all had to do with the minute that LeBron became a Laker, everything changed.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the minute that Rondo became a Laker and Rondo told him off and
maybe it was happily ever after. He realized that this business could not stay solvent.
Yep.
And that he was just continuing to embarrass himself.
However, I do believe he has a Big Baller Brand tattoo that the league has told him to cover up. Just like, what's his name with the Supreme one? J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
And Rasheed Wallace, who apparently had a Nestle tattoo, which is the greatest thing ever. So, The Conners, that's the show without Roseanne, the spinoff after they killed her off from opioid abuse. Didn't come anywhere close to the ratings of its predecessor, yet it still had kind of strong ratings on the last night or the night before. The debut aired, it had 10.5 million viewers and a 2.3 rating among adults. That's down 55% from the premiere of Roseanne last spring, but was on par with Roseanne's finale and even managed to edge out This Is Us for the night.
That's a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my dear. The crock pot has set fire again.
That This Is Us show is just every time it's like, get the handkerchiefs ready. You're going to cry. We're going to jam lemons into your eyes, mother effer, until you can't breathe. And then they show Mandy Moore in the soft light. And then the guy who died with the crock pot. And he's like, oh, learn how Jack became Jack. He's dead now, in case you don't remember. Cry at that, because we're going to make him look like a saint. It is the most over-the-top, ridiculous, wannabe manipulative thing I've seen since that movie Pay It Forward, where they killed the little kid from The Sixth Sense just to make you cry.
Yeah.
Well, either way, Roseanne is half the viewers as the original one, so still doing well. So it's still making everybody who is involved a whole lot of cash.
They were nice. They brought everybody back.
And finally, the Dodgers did something that's actually pretty damn great. Apparently, during their walk-up music, during their first at-bats on Sunday, the songs they used, all songs by Country Joe West. As a matter of fact,
that's great.
Yeah, it was pretty great. At one point, West could be seen on the Dodger Stadium video. This is back. This is a couple of games ago. It was against the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. And you could see Joe West, when the song started playing, laughing up at the Jumbotron. They did it for the entire first inning. And one of the managers, or Dave Roberts, actually said, you noticed that? That was an ode to the old cowboy. And he said that was Chase Utley's idea. We could only find six songs, though, so we kind of had to loop them. I think Joe enjoyed that.
Hey, how old are you, son?
I'm 14.
Your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate. You know, a lot of people don't even look at the interest rate, which you should, because then you could find out that you can actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate. How do you do that? We use LightStream. It offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.0%.